feel free to do.
Well, here's the song we're going to sing for all the folks, and we certainly appreciate all those good cards and letters you've been sending in. We're going to have to ask another fella to come out and help us sing it. Red Savine, let's make it go. Well, Red, you know, it's going to actually take three of us to sing this song.
That's right.
Let's get the Wilburn brothers, one of them, that is, to come over and help us, huh? Here's a song you've been requesting most. Goes kind of like this. He's in the jailhouse now.
He's in the jailhouse now.
Yeah, you're in the by God jailhouse now, man. I told you. I told you once or twice. Hey, this is Terrible Tommy. Terrible Tommy on June the 3rd, 2014. Tuesday. Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, this is the day the eagle craps, you know. At least for me. you know, I'm 76 years old, so every third of the month, the eagle craps, and the old government puts some money in my checking account. I appreciate that from the government. I really appreciate that. And thank you for getting your donations in, a lot of you, and we're getting some new people, and that's great too, because I need it, you need it, we all need it. That's right. Well, we got big troubles, boys and girls. I've been in a seance last night with John Dillinger, Pretty Boy Floyd, and a whole bunch of the boys, and they tell me, well, in fact, I got the information before it was on television. Eric Holder, you know, that mulatto that's the Attorney General of the United States of Uncle Sammy. Yeah. He says, we can't find any more Al-Qaeda over there in Afghanistan. We can't find any more Taliban. They just hide from us, and we can't find them. So we're giving up and coming on back here. And guess what we're going to do? We're going after domestic terrorists. Yeah. Lone wolves, they said. So you better run like hell, man. They're after us now, man. I don't know what to do. I got my clothes packed sitting by the door. Yeah, getting ready to go down to someplace in Barbados, I think. Yeah, right. So, anyhow, we'll get into more of that a little later on. Now, Eric, he's really pissed off. Now, of course, he's not after black domestic terrorists because there's no more bad terrorists than the black terrorists. I mean, in every city in the United States, we got black terrorism 24/7. The only way he's interested in black terrorists is if they've got a turbine on their head. And I don't mean one of those General Electric turbines either. Well, it's a beautiful day here in north central Indiana. Beautiful, clear skies, a lot of sunshine. Got some rain last night. Just after I mowed the damn yard, and now it's growing again. I'll have to, oh man, I'm telling you, the grass grows so damn fast, I'll tell you. Last year I said, I ain't going to mow that damn thing. We'll just let it go to seed. And it went to seed, got about 3 foot high, and it was so full of bugs and crap. I said, we got to mow this thing. I can't leave it like this. So anyhow, I did mow it again. Well, I saw a good film last night in the Centurion division of Hulu. That's where they have all these films. Many, most of them are black and white that drop through the cracks, or the system didn't want to show them very much. Got hundreds of them, and there's some really good ones up there. Now, the one I watched last night was called Overlord. And, of course, for you old-timers, you know that Overlord was the code word for the invasion of Normandy. This film was 95% actual archived film from that period, from the start of the build-up in Britain and the V-2s coming down in Britain and getting ready and going, getting on the boats and going invasion, all through boot camp and all that stuff. It had a personal story to it, but that was the minor part of the movie. But, you know, after I got done with that, I don't know, it really hit me hard because I decided we've only got one enemy, and it's us. The blacks couldn't pull this off against us. Mestizos or Asians can't pull this off against us. We love to kill each other, and we've been killing each other in mass for a long time. Going back to the religious fanatic wars of the Middle Ages and the Hundred Years' War and all those kind of wars. The only time we went down and killed some others was when we killed those ragheads down there in the Holy Land. And we killed some Turks and so forth that tried to sneak in through Eastern Europe. In fact, they snuck in pretty good. But we've been killing ourselves by the millions, and then we wonder why there's not many of us around, or not as many around. And whenever you watch these World War II, World War I movies that are telling us straight that war is hell, you got to come away with that. If we're going to survive, we got to straighten our own race out. We got to get rid of all these rats that have been falsely leading us around by the nose for all these years, all the religious crap and everything else that's promoted, go off to war, fight for Jesus, all that stuff. We got to clean all that up. That's going to keep us busy 24 hours a day. For the most part, Rastus, he's going to kill each other. And, you know, if he comes out into your neighborhood and tries to kill or rape one of your people, well, take him out. But if he stays in his own little backyard, not too much we need to do, because we're going to be too busy fighting the rotten, corrupt sons of bitches in our own race. I put a big sign out front yesterday. I don't know where I told you about it or not. I don't know. I forget half the time. And yeah, I said, the Republa rats ship all the jobs out. The Republa rats love war. And the Republa rats, they'll want low taxes for the big corporations that ship the jobs out. Wait a minute. And then they come home and say how much they love you. And the Republa rats say, we love you. Well, yeah, we're going to ship all your jobs out of the country. We're going to get you in wars every few years. And we're not going to tax the rich, the ruling class. And so, but we still love you. Yeah, we do. Oh, yeah, I forgot. And also, we're going to rape your environment and frack holes all over your state, release toxic water into your drinking water. We're going to cloud the skies with coal smoke, and we're just going to fix things up real good for you, the Republic rats say. But remember, we love you. And don't try to escape by going to the moon or Mars, because we're going to follow you there and do the same thing there that we did here. So you're either going to have to take care of us once and for all, if you know what I mean, or that's it. That's the end. The end. Here. What's that one with the Doors? This is the end. Yeah. Well, it looks like Herb Rubin is still around. He jumped off that, or was he pushed off the second tier? Or was it the third tier at the federal jail in L.A.? And then he went splat. But anyhow, the JDL is still around. I'm shocked. I haven't seen anything from the JDL in a long time. It always seems to be up towards Canada. Press TV's Canada correspondent Joshua Blackney says he has received a threatening email from the Jewish Defense League over his criticism of Israel. In an article published on Press TV website on Tuesday, the Iranian news channel's Calgary-based reporter disclosed an email by the JDL in which he had been threatened to be attacked with extreme prejudice. Now, don't worry about it. They're the Keystone Kikes. They're not going to... I had enough experience with those guys. They blow off, and their bite's a hell of a lot... Or the bark is a hell of a lot worse than their bite. The JDL had called Blackney an anti-Semite. Well, I hope he is. Anti-Jew. Stating, "When we are attacked by the hate-filled anti-Jews like you, we respond with all the resources at our disposal and with extreme prejudice." Well, wait a minute. If these are Canadian citizens and American citizens in the JDL, why would they be supporting another country like Israel? Blackney rejected the anti-Jew allegation leveled against him in the harassing message and argued, quote, "You have to dislike all Jews and irrationally, so to qualify as an anti-Jew." Well, I guess I'm not anti-Jew either, because I don't think I dislike all Jews. I've run into Jews before that seem to be pretty decent people. So if I don't hate them absolutely, every one of them, I guess I'm not anti-Jew. So I'm okay. Quote, "I merely oppose the actions, arguments, and assumptions of those Jews who are oppressors, warmongers, apologists for Israel, and proponents of a Zionist exceptionalist police state," wrote the Press TV correspondent. Well, I agree with that. That's what I say. What, you know, he also criticized the Canadian government for supporting the dirty work of the far-right far-right? Why do I always say far-right or far-left? Well, organization of the JDL in Canada, adding that the Canadian administration has turned the country from a peaceful nation to being a warmongering de facto colony of Israel, unquote. Whoa. The Zionists want to use countries like Britain, Canada, and guess what? The U.S. as playthings to advance Israel's geopolitical goals, Blakeney wrote. Well, they've been doing it for 100 years, man. You're just catching on. Uncle Samuel, he's been doing it in the U.S. here for a long time. Like getting us into World War I and World War II, all that kind of stuff. The United States considers the JDL as a terrorist group. But I don't see them arresting any of them. The stated goal of the organization is to expel Palestinians from their homeland. It's not their homeland. And that Israel is no homeland to any of these goddamn Jews. You know it and I know it. If you don't know it, you better read a little history. Hell, the Greeks were in the Palestine for hundreds of years, hell of a lot longer than the Kikes. Protect Jews from anti-Semitism by whatever means necessary. Yeah, well, Herb Rubin wanted to come at Tom Metzger. He never got Tom Metzger. In fact, Tom Metzger's boys got him. No, I'm not admitting to pushing him off the third tier of that jail downtown, but I think it's strange. They said he committed suicide, and I know enough about Herb Rubin. I will give him that much credit. I don't think Herb Rubin would commit suicide. But who knows who pushed him off? Maybe it was the Black Brothers. Maybe it was, jails full of them, you know. Who knows? Or maybe it was the government itself, like the ones that killed Rabbi Kahane and then turned around and killed his son. I think that was Mossad. What do you think? They were embarrassments to the police state of Israel. In fact, if you read Meir Kahane, Rabbi Meir Kahane's books, there's a hell of a lot in there I agree with. Meir Kahane used to tell Jews in the United States, you better get out of here. You better get out of here and go to Israel, because you're going to get it if you don't watch out. He used to say, don't go to the cocktail parties like you all do and listen to all this stuff about how great the Jews are. You don't hear it there. If you want to know what people think of the Jews, go into a beer bar down in Detroit. You'll get the real word, which is true. If there are any beer bars left in Detroit. In 2001, the FBI classified the organization as a right-wing terrorist. How come terrorist groups are always right-wing? Almost never left-wing. Almost never progressive-wing. I hear old Mike Malloy talking some pretty heavy shit about revolution and stuff like that. And he's a left-wing progressive. So, anyhow. Of course, you never know. They may be going to round him up one of these days, too. He has a little problem staying on a lot of radio stations because he tends to speak a lot of truth, and they don't like that. Anyhow, which has been involved in plotting and executing acts of terrorism within the United States. Well, yeah, I remember when they knocked off, the Palestinian, Alex O'Day in Southern California. Yeah, they planted a bomb on his front door. They're real brave people. Alex O'Day blew him sky high. And I know Irv Rubin was in on it. The way it worked with the JDL, they were sort of the point guides and showed them where to go. And the guys who did the numbers were retired Israeli military people with connections to the Mossad. When I was running some things in California, we got into Irv Rubin's records and we got into finding out where his money was and all kinds of stuff. Tracking his money out of Canada and so forth. Of course, the right wing never gave me credit for that. I mean, they couldn't find their ass with a searchlight, but we used to do all kinds of heavy-duty investigations done by professionals. There was a Palestinian, or at least an Arab or Islamic restaurant there in Los Angeles, down in that I forget that district where the Jews used to hang out. And all of a sudden it caught on fire and burnt to the ground. And we tracked it. The next day or two, there was $10,000 deposited to Irv Rubin's account. Yeah. So they've been getting away with that kind of shit for years. And the government jumps up and down and calls them terrorists and everything else. But they never do anything about it, you know. Anyhow, that's the story there. Good old Irv Rubin running around L.A. He had some connections to the mob, too, up there in L.A., but I think he got in trouble with the mob because he had too big a mouth. He had too big a mouth. And maybe it was a mob that done him in. Jewish mob. Could have been. What you don't realize is that people like Irv Rubin of the JDL, they're hated by a large percentage of the Jews. They hate them with a passion because they think they're screwing up their game. You shut up. You're going to get all these white boys, these non-Jews looking at us, uncovering our shit, man. Irv, shut up. Well, he wouldn't shut up, but somebody shut him up. But that was pretty bold. They knocked off Meir Kahane and blamed it on him. Islamic guy, but we know who was behind it. And then his son tried to operate a political party in Israel. And I'll bet you anything, it was the Mossad that bumped him off. So it's not all love and kisses in the Jew community. A lot of these right-wingers, they think, oh, those Jews are all together. They conspired perfectly. They're in lockstep, and they never disagree with each other. Hell, they kill each other, man. They kill each other all the time. Back in the days of the Jew Murder Incorporated, they were bumping each other off like you wouldn't believe it. So the right wing, don't listen to that. The right wing gets so screwed up. They're always wanting to say, every Jew is doing this and every Jew is doing that. It's just like every nigger is doing this and every nigger is doing that. They just don't have too many smarts. Well, I'll send this along to you in print so you can think about it. Yeah, think about it.
Between a Taliban militant and the U.S., which led to the release of an American soldier in exchange for 5 former Guantanamo detainees. Kabul says it was never informed by Washington about such a deal. It also called for the immediate release of the 5 Taliban prisoners who have been sent to Qatar. The Afghan Foreign Ministry says their transfer to a third country goes against the international law. Early in the day, the 5 militants arrived in Qatar after being freed from the Guantanamo prison in a swap deal for U.S. soldier Bo Bergdahl. Meanwhile, U.S. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel has expressed hope that the release of Sergeant Bo Bergdahl would lead to a breakthrough with the Taliban militants.
Strongly supported an Afghan-led effort to come to an agreement with the Taliban. As you know, we had engaged with the Taliban up until 2012. They broke off those negotiations. We've had no formal relationship since then. So maybe this will be a new opening that can produce an agreement.
Now, Hagel said that the military operation to free Sergeant Bo Bergdahl after intelligence suggested the 28-year-old's safety and health were in jeopardy. Bergdahl is currently in the U.S. medical facility at Landstuhl in Germany for further treatment and evaluation. Now, what do you make of the U.S. policy of, on the one hand, expressing hope for a negotiated settlement with the Taliban, while at the same time engaging militarily with them on the ground in Afghanistan?
Well, United States policy has always been rather schizophrenic in the Middle East because there are a lot of Zionist influences driving U.S. policy. But it's important to note that Sergeant Bergdahl has spent nearly 5 years in captivity, and the United States has an obligation to bring its servicemen home, particularly in light of the scandals involving POWs and MIAs in Vietnam. It's important to also note there's a lot of political issues going on regarding this issue. The Taliban is not the entity that is often referred to as Al-Qaeda. The Taliban was the government of Afghanistan. And as far back as the 1990s, and back in 1997, the United States was negotiating with the Taliban. A Taliban delegation came to the United States, and matter of fact, the Taliban had ceded a United Nations permanent representative to the United Nations. So negotiations with the Taliban go back to as far as 1996, 1997. I think that's important to note.
Now, Mr. Martin, also, speaking of political factors playing in over here, the role of Qatar, I'd like you to give your opinion on that. We've seen that Qatar has in the past also agreed to host the headquarters of the Taliban, and now these 5 Guantanamo prisoners are being released on the soil of Qatar. What do you make of that?
Well, I think Qatar has been playing an interesting role in the geopolitical situation on behalf of the United States as well in the Syrian conflict as well. They've been recently implicated in that role as well. And I think the best situation is for Qatar to act on behalf of its interests only and not to be acting as a broker in these types of arrangements. I think direct dialogue between the United States and the Taliban is what's going to bring this silly conflict to an end. It's important to also note that these five prisoners were never going to be able to be legally tried in the U.S. court anyway due to the constitutional violations, and that these five prisoners were ministers of the interior. They were provincial governors. They were governmental ministers that after the fact the neocon media in the United States started to label terrorists. And we have to be very careful and to be very accurate in our depiction, particularly in the United States, as to what has taken place. Basically, Taliban governmental officials were exchanged for a U.S. prisoner, which a soldier, and the U.S. soldier shouldn't have been there anyway. And I'll be posting the U.S. soldier's final email before he was captured at ana-ann.com. It's very revealing. He learned very quickly the utter contempt in which the United States holds peoples in the Middle East, and that policy has to change.
All right. That was Rodney Martin, former U.S. congressional staffer, joining us from Los Angeles via Skype. Mr. Martin, it's always a pleasure having you with us here on Press TV.
Well, it's too bad that this sergeant didn't just go on leave someplace, maybe to Europe or some friendly country, and just walked off, or went on leave, came back to the United States, and just walked over into Canada or someplace and said, I'm through with this bullshit. I don't hold any grievance against this guy at all, because he knows he was fighting for corporate America. He wasn't fighting for the United States. The United States hasn't been attacked. I mean, he knows that, and he knows it now, and after a while he knew it, that he was getting probably more truth from these Islamists, of course, than he was his own government. Of course, we never should have been in Afghanistan or Iraq, either one, or the Balkans or any of these places. This is totally, as far as I can see, totally unconstitutional, unless the Constitution is a corporate document. If it's a corporate document, then I guess wherever the profit's to be made, we can go there and kill anybody we want and call it we're fighting for the American people. So they can have Walmart and Kmart and Penny's and cheap hamburgers and the whole bit. Well, anyhow, interesting stuff. But from the pictures I see, the guy is now a committed Islamist. You can tell by the way he's dressed and the whole bit, even after he's been released, he's an Islamist. He either decided to go that route, or they brainwashed him, or whatever they did. And so he's of no value to us at all. And the Islamic religion is total from top to bottom, race-mixing religion, even though they don't always practice what they preach. But we cannot have anything to do with the Islamist religious idea or religious idea involved in political activity, because they're 180 degrees out of phase with us on race. The only thing we seem to have some agreement is on the Zionist situation. And I have nothing to say against having communications with Islamists and dialogue with Islamists, but you can never trust an Islamist, just like an Islamist will never trust an Aryan. That's all right. I hear some comments on that page on the website, which you just listened to. The Zionist influence is driving U.S. foreign policy is a false claim. The truth is that the Zionists drive the whole U.S. government in all aspects. As far as the actions and behaviors attributed to Zionism is concerned, is there any difference between Israel and the U.S.? Here's another one. The bankers know how to pick their useful stooges well. The Jews have to make some of the pushiest, most insidious, and incessant lobbyists on the planet. Obama and the U.S. government are a bunch of real tools of the Zionists. Well, I haven't seen anything I disagree with so far. Next reply, it says, it is time for all true American patriots to rise up and take back the USA. Well, I agree with that. Rid country of the Zionists and their capitalists. Yeah, I agree with that, too. the Patriot militias should unite and fight for the right to be called Americans. Well, I agree with that. Does that make me a dangerous domestic pet terrorist? Well, maybe in the head. So far, not in the body. But you never know. Well, here's the next one. There are at least 40 dual loyalist holders of 75 key positions in the State Department, including the now infamous Nuland, Kerry, Sherman, Jacobson, and so on. It's as if the 310 million other Americans have been fed with something in their Big Macs and have all become uninformed goyim. Here's the next comment. The Zionists have been able to infiltrate every aspect of the government and the media, with the exception of maybe five congressmen and senators. All others respond to Tel Aviv's wishes, not our POTUS or our homeland. A few years ago, President Carter criticized the Zionists for the inhuman treatment of the Palestinian people, and he was blasted with insults by 430 U.S. congressmen that also call themselves patriot. The Palestinians' suffering has been shamefully paid for by your tax money. Here's another one. Whether it's via Zionist or oppressive usury banking systems throughout history, where Jews have found weak, godless cultural identity and weak leadership in the host country, they take over the money system and the media and finally take over the foreign policy. Europe and America is evidence of this. They push secularism and atheism everywhere except Israel. Oh, wait a minute. That's painting too many people with a wide brush there. The next one. Is this really news for us? But the world should see that these psychopaths not go get away with it. Perhaps in the end, it's the non-country-based private terror organization with a long, long threat to the world. I want to see here. Oh, there's a whole lot more. Well, of course they do. The Rothschild bankers figured out a very long time ago that the central banking, warfare, investment model of economics is a very profitable way to make fabulous fortunes, particularly in funding both sides of any conflict, because it matters not who wins these contrived wars. Both sides still have to pay the debt to the bankers who funded the project to begin with. Now here's another one. Just like the Glass-Steagall Act was generally repealed by the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act of 1999 during the administration of Bill Clinton, and in the late hours before Christmas holidays, when most of Congress was leaving or was already gone for the holidays. And that was the biggest treasonous act that Bill Clinton committed. He probably committed quite a few more, but that was the biggest one that led to the total crash on Wall Street. And none of those guys are going to prison. Or if they are, they're low-level people in that banking deal. Next one, no perfect marriage. The Rothschilds hijacked the United States when they created the Federal Reserve System under President Wilson at Jekyll Island, and was passed when the majority of senators and congressmen were away for the holidays. They like to do that. They pass a lot of bullshit when the congressmen are away, but the congressmen don't have any excuse. They could rise up and change things. The American people actually had nothing to do with this, and are as much a victim of it as all the other people here on this planet. Well, to a degree, you're right, but still, when you know a crime is being committed, if you see somebody breaking into your neighbor's house, some big black guy or even a big white guy, and you know they're going to take all their property and maybe kill the people, and you don't say anything, and you don't try to stop them, or you don't even call the cops, well, you're just as guilty as the people doing it. Yep, that's it. Well, that's the end of the comments, and they're pretty damn good comments. If you want to get more of that, go to PressTV.com. It seems to be a little bit aligned more with the Middle Eastern Islamist or whatever, but still, there's a lot of sure as hell a lot of truth there. That old Snowden fellow should be a national hero instead of being called dirty names by the ketchup man. An American activist says it's sad that while Americans believe Edward Snowden did the right thing to expose the National Security Agency's spying, they do not do anything about it. Well, of course, now what do you want to do? I say let's all get out in the streets and march towards Capitol Hill. Save a place for me, but I don't want you to go unarmed. Nearly a year after Snowden first leaked classified documents on the NSA's spying activities, a new YouGov.com survey shows 55% of the respondents say he was right to expose PRISM, an NSA surveillance program for tracking the use of U.S.-based internet servers by all people around the world, including your picture. Has anybody found my picture on there yet? The survey also found that 82% of the respondents believe corporate data is being spied on by the U.S. government. It should be spied on by U.S. government. Corporates. You see how they're trying to let the corporates off the hook? The tail's wagging the dog here. Quote, what's really sad is that people accept it. Look at those two percentages, 55 and 82. People don't think it's right. They think Snowden did the right thing. They don't want the government spying on them. But they resign themselves to the NSA spying, which is still going on, said Daniel Patrick Welch, a writer and linguist, in a phone interview with Press TV on Tuesday. Well, Daniel, it's got to start someplace. We had Occupy New York and things like that, and I don't think that none of those patriots, or very few of those patriots, supported it. Because there was some left-wingers in there. There might even have been a couple of Jews and a queer. So we ain't gone down there. Of course, when they stormed the Bastille in Paris back in the day, I don't think they checked everybody's background out. They just decided to kick ass. Anyhow, Daniel, start the parade. Tell me where you want to start, and I'll come with you. It's got to start somewhere. You can't just keep saying, well, nobody wants to do anything. I mean, you know, you're well known, and, you know, you might really get something started. And all those progressives out there that know what the hell's going on and even talking about revolution, but I don't see anybody calling for a million pissed off people march on Washington. Because I'll go. I want to be right in there, man, because maybe I can get in there and choke to death a couple of those congressmen. Oh, Eric Holder's going to get me for saying that. Ooh. The study was conducted by surveying more than 1,000 employed American adults. Welch says it's very interesting that they chose employed Americans because the employed are more satisfied with the status quo. Not satisfied, but afraid to lose their job, buddy. You know, they got them into high mortgages and high debt for going to college, everything else. They're enslaved. It's not like back in the Depression when people didn't have a pot to piss in. They had no, even then they didn't revolt. If there's ever going to be a revolution in this country, it would have been during the Depression of 29 and up until the 30s. And we were headed that direction, but FDR said, well, maybe it's better if we get something going with a war in Europe and a war in Asia. Let's work on that and get these people's minds off this revolution stuff. Many, many, many Americans in increasing numbers are permanently withdrawing from the workplace. Withdrawing? They're losing their jobs. You can bet that a much higher percentage of people who have been looking for a job for a year or two and are trying to feed their family have a much higher contempt for the system. He said, well, you can have all the contempt you want, and there's plenty of it around, but unless somebody grabs a baseball bat, a pitchfork, or whatever, and starts the parade going, nothing's changing. I mean, you know, you can be pissed off. You can be pissed off for years, really, really, really pissed off. But if you don't act, and if you don't act in concert with enough people, nothing changes. Welch added that even though they conducted the study by surveying employed Americans, still they couldn't get below a majority. It's 55%. Well, it's interesting that they put that in there, that the survey also found 82% of the respondents believe corporate data is being spied on by the U.S. government. I think that was slipped in there by the corporates. I think this guy slipped that in there because I don't think the average guy feels that way at all. I don't think he really thinks about the corporates. That's the problem. He doesn't think about the corporates.
Oh, you better watch out. You better not pout. Eric Holder is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He spies on you when you're awake. You better be good for goodness sake. Ha, 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 yeah.
Well, if you're a educated lone wolf, you got nothing to worry about. But if you're one of these people that meander all over the place and you're over in the right-wing chat rooms and Stormfront and all those VNN, all that kind of stuff, everybody gets to know you. You're going to all kinds of meetings and meeting with people. Believe it or not, I had a guy contact me by email the other day. Wanted to support our whatever we're doing. I'm trying to figure that out. But anyhow, he said, but he wants to remain secret, and that's fine. I'm all for that. But he said he wanted to meet me in a dark, sort of subdued, lighted place. He's going to wear a ski mask. I said, oh, let's go through this again. You want me to meet with you in a dark place and you're wearing a ski mask? I don't think so. My meetings take place in well-lit public institutions and places. Not institutions, but places. I don't meet in the dark and on in the boondocks with people with ski masks. Oh, I'm telling you. Just remember, you're better off hiding in plain sight than playing games. But if you're following the lone wolf manual and the whole bit, especially if you're independently operating as a lone wolf, you don't have to worry about anything. I mean, you have to be concerned about things. Concerned of being set up. But I think it's going to be almost impossible for an honest lone wolf to be set up. Because there's certain indications when people start talking to you that the red light in your brain goes off. Or the yellow light in your brain goes off. Say, whoop, wait a minute, what did he just say to me? So he who travels alone travels the safest. You got plenty of time to get together later on when the boom boom starts. I mean, what did I say, Eric? I didn't mean it. I apologize. These Islamics, many of them are just as two-faced as the Zionist Jews, you know. And there's a documentary on the web here. It says, this documentary shows how Islamophobia soared after 9/11. Well, why wouldn't it? And ask why the U.S. government doesn't take any measures to prevent religious prejudice against Muslims. But these same Muslims belong to these anti-discrimination Muslim outfits, and they condemn us all the time. You know, white separatists? Oh, are you kidding? Cops go get them, FBI go get them. Us Islamists are all behind you, so don't ask us for sympathy, you betrayed your homeland and came to this homeland. This is not your homeland, you know. And you're going to have to understand that as time goes on. You non-white Islamists don't belong here, and sooner or later you're going to have to leave. That's it. Either that or we'll leave, I guess. I guess these Islamists and these Zionists and these blacks and all these people have Aryan phobia. Yeah, white phobia. Nobody ever talks about that. No. Well, right wing at it again. Right wing so-called racists. I don't even know whether they're really racist or really separatists at all. Because every time they put a microphone in front of them, they say, even though I'm wearing this Klan robe, I'm not racist. Virginia group proudly posts second Confederate flag along the highway. Now, this is big news. And they put it a lot up on the black websites, you know. If you're driving through Virginia near Fredericksburg, then you should probably brace yourself for an eyesore. A group of Confederate sympathizers called the Virginia Flaggers have posted their second Confederate flag along the highway. Only one? Confederate sympathizer. Do you mean sympathizers with the plantation system, the anti-white working class plantation system? Or what do you mean? Of course, they don't even know what you mean. They lump everybody together, the goddamn Southern capitalist plantation corporate types and the white working class who had to do all the fighting. You know, 90% of the fighting was done by people, white people, who didn't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of. The second flag is on Interstate 95 near Richmond, according to Raw Story, which is a progressive group, even though the group's first flag raised the ire of at least 24,000 Virginians who signed a petition in opposition to it. The group has remained headstrong in its decision to support the Confederacy in a war fought well over 100 years ago to protect slavery. No, it wasn't. If you mean slavery as a capitalist system, yes, they were property. They were property, just like a horse or a tractor or whatever. Quote, we have no problems with people who have different points of view, but we also want them to respect our views, said Barry Eisenhower, a spokesman for the Confederate group. The flag is near Richmond and is bound to stir controversy since African Americans are the majority in the city. That's the sad, sick thing about it, that blacks are the majority in the city of Richmond. The South, the home of the South, the center of Southern culture. Richmond was once home to the largest slave market in America, and the flaggers don't intend on allowing blacks to forget the painful history. Yeah, and the whites were guilty of establishing that slave market. Instead of saying, no, we don't want slavery, get them out of here, or we'll kill you and them, we'll sink all your goddamn Jew-owned slave ships and get the fuck out of here. Instead, these people are still hearkening back to what a wonderful time it was. Oh, we had niggers all over the place. And now niggers are even more all over the place. Everywhere you look. So we're going to plant these Confederate flags to show them what for. Yeah, we're going to show them what for, man. We're going to plant Confederate flags. I got a better idea. Why don't you plant swastika flags if you want to really get things going? I'd love to see that. Take down those Confederate flags and plant swastika flags. Or have a Confederate flag and then a few feet from it have a swastika flag. Let's really get this going. These right-wingers, that'll get them all excited. And they'll have big get-togethers and they'll flame the cross and they'll get on the chat wars and they'll get on the... they'll get on VNN, they'll get on Stormfront, and boy, they'll go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. But you know what? Nothing will change because they're phony. Phony as a $3 bill. A sad representation of the people who came out of that generation. They're plastic, just like the Chinese said 25, 30 years ago. The Chinese, remember that? The Chinese Red said, the United States is a paper tiger. It is a paper tiger. Unless you go step on the toes of the corporate power. And then it's not too much of a paper tiger, but it's a plastic tiger. It's all built on plastic. You know what would be real cool? If some blacks went out there with gasoline and set those flags on fire. Do you think that would get those white boys off their ass instead of talking all the time? You think they would invade Richmond and rid the city of Negroes? Not hardly. Number one, because Eric, the Attorney General, he's going to be after them domestic terrorists. Yeah. Not the black domestic terrorists, just the white ones. I'll bet you thought there was no good news around. Look at this. White man who yelled racial slur gets rewarded with a job. A homeless man living in the United Kingdom, that's Britain for you guys, who yelled out a racial slur, I think he called him a nigger, couldn't have expected the response he received from the intended target of the slur. Anamur Chowdhury, 30, was leaving a bar when he heard a homeless man named Ben Gallen insult him. Chowdhury says he just couldn't let it go. Initially, I turned the other cheek, and then I was challenging Ben about what he had said to me. I stopped and had a chat with him for 15 minutes. Oh, wow. Chowdhury says he realized Gallen was a good guy at heart, so he came back the next day to do something good for him. I went back to see him the following day to tell him he had been offered a job, said Chowdhury. I care for him. It's a positive story. Wow, boy, isn't that neat? Yeah, so next time you see a black guy, call him a nigger and he'll get you a job. How about that? Well, here's a couple of comments from, I think, black people about that story. Why are you writing and posting this stuff on a black website? I sure as hell don't want to read about some racist scumbag getting a job for being a racist piece of shit. What are you trying to prove? That was Marcus Davis said that. Here's the next one. As stated in a previous post, why are you writing this story here? Are you implying that white racists in America need any help? That was from Livingstone Marshall. They're a little excited. Well, I stand by my first statement. If you're out of a job, Whitey, and you're on the street, you just find yourself a reasonably well-dressed Negro man and call him a nigger, and he's going to put his arm around you and say, "What, brother, I love you. I'm going to give you a job. Right up here on Wall Street where I work." Well, I want to read to you a success story here with one of the brothers. Antoine Walker's story is a cautionary tale. He's a former NBA player who burst onto the scene as a sophomore at the University of Kentucky in the 1990s, where he helped the team win a national championship of dribbling that little damn ball down the thing and throwing it in that little round hoop. Ah, it's amazing. What an IQ. In the 1996 NBA draft, Walker was chosen as the 6th overall pick by the Boston Celtics. Wow. Oh, let me see. There's got to be more to this story. He was a productive player, making all-rookie first team and leading the team in scoring. With that little ball put into that ring down at the end of the court there, yeah. Walker became a standout to the Celtics, worshipped by white people coast to coast. Teaming up with Paul Pierce, Walker made multiple all-star teams and helped the Celtics make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, where he was still worshipped by white people coast to coast. Walker was eventually traded to the Dallas Mavericks, but later returned to the Celtics for a brief time before being traded to the Miami Heat, Minnesota Timberwolves, and Memphis Grizzlies. Walker last played for the NBA team in 2008. Wow, something else. He was last worshipped in 2008 by white people. Well, here's the rest of the story here about this young, highly intelligent black boy that was able to throw a ball through a ring, and while the white crowd worshipped the very ground he walked on. Despite his NBA success, Walker, the Negro, is now broke. He shares his story in the following video. A gambling habit saw him accrue nearly $800,000 in unpaid debt to the Jews. He also faced 3 felony counts for writing bad checks that were related to gambling debts to the Jews. Gambling was not Walker's only bad decision. At one point, he was taking care of an entourage of more than 70 friends and family members, according to his mother. Despite earning nearly $110 million during his NBA career, as well as endorsements, Walker was forced to file for personal bankruptcy in 2010. This offspring of slaves, this poor kid, he never had a chance. He never had a chance. $100 million. He should have had a lot more than that. Walker is not the only professional athlete, I mean Negro, to find himself broke after earning millions of dollars. The Jews just follow them along. You heard that joke? Well, I'm not going to tell you that joke. But anyhow, all you have to do is follow a black guy who's amassed a lot of money, and the Jews are going to all get it back. Walker has completed a documentary to help other professional athletes avoid the same pitfalls and mistakes he has experienced. Check out the video below to hear more about his story. Do you think that the NBA gives adequate financial literacy training to its athletes? No, because they're owned by the Kikes. The Kikes own them just like they did the slaves on the plantation. They give them the big money. They know they're going to blow it. Perhaps these men should reach out to individuals like Ryan Mack or Dr. Boyce Watkins for financial advice instead of relying on those provided by the NBA. Tell us what you think. Well, let's see what this video clip has to say about this.
$10 million during 13 NBA seasons, and millions more in endorsements. Now at age 33, Antoine Walker is a Guaynabo Met. His paycheck is not guaranteed past the end of March, but if he leads his club to a Puerto Rican League title this summer, he could earn $150,000.
Whoa. What a guy.
He needs every penny.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I lived a very expensive lifestyle. I took care of my family. I was very generous to my family and my friends.
How much of that money do you still have?
None.
It depends on how much debt I can get out of.
He had closets full of custom-tailored suits. And in Boston, his driveway was a showroom for luxury cars.
I had Bentley, had Mercedes.
And Walker says he spared no expense entertaining his entourage.
When I was younger, I used to travel with a lot of people, but probably 8 or 9 guys, and which is a very expensive lifestyle to live because, you know, you're traveling the world. That's 8, 9 rooms. That's 8, 9 flights. When you go to dinner, that's a huge bill every night.
Yeah,
Walker
think about all the whores.
Walker built his $2.5 million mansion in southwest Chicago. The house has an indoor pool, 10 bathrooms, and a full...
Well, they cut that off pretty fast. He's a guy. What a guy, man. Fought his way up from the plantation all the way to the top to lose it all. We got to make a movie out of this nigger story. Now, wow. How you can make $110 million and blow it? Just put that video in reverse and follow the money back, and you'll see that most of it ends up in the hands of the Jews. And, of course, he had his entourage of white whores, too, that evidently charged him pretty heavily to lay down with that sweaty body. Well, that's it for Tuesday, boys and girls. That's the state of the nation. And it is screwed up. But you gotta have a few laughs out of all this, because if you don't, you'll be crying all the time. 14-5. And let's go on out here with another good old Webb Pierce song that will thrill your heart. And if it doesn't, don't darken my bathtub again. I'm gonna dedicate this song to that poor nigger boy who lost his $110 million, okay? This is for you, Mr. Basketball Man.
your way down. Pick me up on your way down. When you're blue and all alone, when the glamour starts before you, come on back where you belong. You may be their pride and joy, but they'll find another toy. Then they'll take away your crown. Pick me up on your way down.
That's enough web for today. How about that? Hey, remember this, boys and girls. This is for the welfare of all the Jews around the country. God bless Niggerball. God bless Niggerball. We're making lots of money off that Niggerball.